Hello and welcome to the Surface Tension Podcast. My name is Alex. My co-host over here is Craig. We are going to be exploring deep questions and looking for deep answers to spiritual questions and questions about life in general. We're happy to have you here, and here we go.
Hi, thanks for joining our podcast. Alex, as you know, we love to ask good questions, big questions, as in the introduction.
And yes,
I was reading something the other day that made me stop and think of a question. And I like that. When reading or listening to an audiobook or in a conversation, when I have to pause to say, wow, that question is important enough, I really need to take a pause.
Yeah, give it a go. What do you got for me?
And so this is a question that came from what I was reading. What if instead of being a better version of ourselves, we tried to be a more accurate reflection of Jesus? Let me hit it one more time, and I want to get your response. What if instead of being a better version of ourselves, we tried to be a more accurate reflection of Jesus? Where does that take you?
Good places. But what if I like parts about myself, Morris?
Well, I like parts of you too, Alex. A lot of parts, actually.
Wow. Thank you. Good. That means a lot to me. No, but I think this gets us into an interesting conversation of what's the perfect mixture of me and Jesus that's going to bring the biggest blessing to the most people. And maybe I'm not saying that correctly. This could be a butchering of the concept, but it's the way I'm playing with it in my mind right now is how much do I need to have me diminish to let Jesus shine? How much more Jesus do I need to over-index on to really leverage the best parts of what God has created in me?
Yes.
And it's this ambiguous territory for me, and I think probably for a lot of people, where it might be too amorphous to even work on in some capacity, because we can talk about it conceptually, but implementing it practically is an entirely different question altogether. We could talk ad infinitum about, what does it mean to more accurately reflect Jesus, and not actually get anywhere beyond theoretical, and that's where it would stay. So if we're talking about this question, I guess the question that goes beyond the question is, how do we talk about something like this and then take real pieces that we can employ today, that we can act upon right now and in our next conversation that we have with somebody we know or a stranger? How are we going to more accurately reflect Jesus in a way that is real and not just hypothetical conjecture?
Yes. I love, love, love your question. Can we press pause on that for a minute?
We sure can.
Because we won't be able to do that if we don't first dig a little deeper into this question, because the question has with it some buried assumptions. Many questions do, right?
Yes.
And the assumption buried in this question is the pursuit of being the best version of myself actually the right thing to be pursuing?
Well, that's very much on the table for anyone who uses the internet. You've encountered self-help, the self-help genre. You've encountered self-improvement, dieting, exercise, how to have better relationships. You've watched a rom-com about how to overcome obstacles in your personal life. There's all of these half-truths that are baked into the self-improvement, the self-help genre, but they're incomplete, right?
Yeah. So what's wrong? Tell me, what is wrong with making it your goal to be the best version of yourself you can be?
Well, I'm lucky because you and I are friends and we've talked about this before, so I don't have to come up with my answer on the fly, but all of that starts with me, right, as the starting point. And that's, you know, as we've said on the podcast in the past, is that's building a pyramid upside down. If it starts with me, it's doomed to fail. If it starts with God, that foundation's firm. So that plays into your question is, okay, if we're going to not be the best version of me, if I'm going to reflect a more accurate version of Jesus to bless other people, well, then I better know who the accurate version of Jesus is. And then the question becomes, how do I get to know the authentic Jesus rather than how do I get to be more like him and muscle my way towards it as though I would a Tony Robbins speaking engagement or a P90X, whatever, what have you, whatever the arena might happen to be, the area in which you're trying to build yourself up and get to the next level and everything like that. So if we're reverse engineering this question, we have to start with, okay, how accurate is my depiction of Jesus? How well do I know Jesus? And do I know him as a character in a story, or do I know him as a friend? Do I know him as a leader? Do I know him as a king? Do I know him as an advocate? Do I know him as a savior? Do I know him as a redeemer? Do I know him as God's son? Mm-hmm. Do I know him as the man who died on the cross for me and for everyone I will ever know? And the list just goes on, right? But again, I'm also, in saying these things, I'm also getting into Jesus's biography, and that can also pull us into his highlight reel and not the authentic small moments that happen with Jesus in our everyday life, which can really give us a more accurate depiction of Jesus.
Good. That's well said. Do you think most people would be intimidated or scared or not want to entertain this question about being the best version of themselves versus the best reflection of Jesus they can be? Is that going to be a question that people are going to go, ooh, no thank you?
It sounds really poetic coming off the tongue.
What do you think the heart response is, though? Because again, I love the things that you rattle off about Jesus and being a great, needing to know him first. I love that. But there's still the big hurdle or the barrier of, does Jesus really want me to be the best version of me? Do you think most people are convinced that Jesus really wants people to be the best version of themselves?
Well, this is a tricky one because I've talked to people and I've had this thought myself where I think that the best version of me is like diet Jesus, Jesus light, Jesus zero, where kind of tastes similar, but I'm just like, you know, kind of the, are we trying to be like a silver medal Jesus and emulate him, or are we trying to integrate him? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Are we emulating or are we integrating? I think that's a question that I'm still grappling with even at this stage of my walk, and I'm so thankful that a question like that can even pop into my head, because that is a very important thing, I think, for me to clarify, and a lot of the people in my life, I think, are trying to parse through that as well, as emulate versus integrate. So what would you say is the correct way to reflect a more accurate version of Jesus? Because does Jesus dislike Craig and only want, and Jesus wants all of Craig to go away and for Craig to become the most, let's just say, Jesus wearing a Craig costume? Is that who Jesus wants Craig to be? Does he want all of us to be, to look like we do, but to essentially be him? What does this look like? And if I'm totally missing the point of this whole conversation, just reach across the table and smack me and be like, dude, you're blowing it.
No, I just love the questions and I love your thought process. And thank you for sharing just authentically that, yeah, there seems to be a difference between being the best version of ourselves and then maybe being a reflection of him. And being a best version of ourselves, I think, opens up us to being vulnerable to trying to use Jesus. I have a vision of who I am, who I'm supposed to be in this world, and I'm just going to use Jesus to get there. And we have a fairly clear vision sometimes of who we want to be. Sometimes we have a hard time getting there. And I think we need to maybe open up the windows of possibility that maybe there's even a better version of ourselves that's available that we don't even know of, couldn't conceive of. You think about the Apostle Paul, living my best life, right? I took my wife to a Ben Rector concert a little while ago, living my best life. I think the Apostle Paul thought he was living his best life when he was a really good Pharisee, when he was respected by everyone, when he was trying to demolish the early Christian church by killing its leaders. I think he thought he was living the best version of himself, not knowing that there was an incredibly different version of himself that was available only through Jesus.
Are you open to that happening to you even at this stage of your walk?
Thank you for asking that. Those are scary questions, and that's why I hope our audience is, if they're not looking at this as kind of a scary, daunting question, then maybe we really aren't looking at this seriously enough.
Well, I feel more comfortable asking that of myself.
Yeah.
Right? But if I had been on like a multi-decade walk,
yeah,
what if I had the most raw, real encounter with Jesus of my entire life that minimized everything that I thought I knew about Jesus and then totally eclipsed the significance of my relationship with him, anything prior, and then became the new standard? And, you know, Jesus says to you, Craig, I have a new vision for you that
yes.
I'm excited to share with you. Yeah. How do you respond to that? Especially because you're great, dude. Like I love you. And you're like, you're one of my best friends on the planet. And I can't imagine you getting to exceedingly amazing levels simply by virtue of how amazing I already think you are and in what high esteem I already hold you.
Yes.
So this is tough for me to wrap my head around. Where does it take you?
Well, you know, thank you. Again, I love the space that is created in these conversations. And your first question and then your example to me hit very differently. Because your first question is, would you be open to this new you? Oh, well, yeah, gosh, that created a whole thought map in my mind of what would that be like and what would that involve? And I went down a whole series of conversation in my mind of saying, gosh, I think that would be difficult, but I think I would probably be on board with that, but I don't know. Recently, there was something that was really important to me, and I had a very specific outcome that I was looking for, and I was praying about it. And as I was praying and sharing my request, Jesus says, hey, you don't have because you don't ask. Ask anything in my will and my name, and I'll do it for you. And I was looking at all those and kind of a little bit sheepishly saying, hey, this is the desire of my heart, and this is what I want. And this then came the difficult part. And I said, but somehow, if you are able to be more glorified by a different outcome, then I would rather have you be glorified than the outcome that I really want.
You wanted your daughter to win the national soccer championship, and you wanted to pray to God that that would happen. And then you noticed that you were getting in the way and that your attention was turned back on Jesus. Let me just bring this into a tangible
yes. yeah, okay.
Vision for the people
All
who
right.
listen.
Yes.
Okay. And I think this is amazing because as a parent, you want nothing more than for your kids to succeed and for your hard work as a parent to pay off
yes.
in such a pronounced and beautiful way as to have a sports career culminate in a national championship. That is phenomenal. But then you paused and you said, Jesus, whichever outcome brings more glory to you, let that be the outcome of this momentous occasion that I really want her to win.
Yes. And I was very honest, and I still be honest, that was a difficult prayer for me to pray, because sometimes we want things very badly. And to learn how to want God's glory more than anything else is still something that I am trying to learn. And getting back to your original question, you said, hey, would you be willing to explore this new you? Okay, my mind goes down a certain path that may be challenging or dicey, like, okay, God, I want your glory more than anything else. But then in your example, you said, if Jesus came to you and said, hey, I want to do something new in you. I didn't have all the mental hopscotch and agonizing conversation in my mind of, ooh, is that going to be good for me? Is it not going to be? Am I going to like the outcome? Am I not going to like the outcome? It was more just Jesus saying, hey, come with me and I'm going to do something new and beautiful in you. And it was much easier in my mind to say yes to that. Because on one hand, it was this conceptual wrestling with, oh, is that good or good? What is really the best version of me? And does he really have the ability to bring that out? And will I like that? And what will my wife think? What will my friends think? How will that impact my career? All of that went away when you just introduced that Jesus comes and says, I want to do something new in you, and I think you're going to like it. Okay, good. I'm in. Yes.
Isn't that fascinating that you had like an internal dialogue in a split second that was like really serious? And your mind went to all of those possible places of, oh, this is what I'd have to change. This is who I'd have to consider. This might be modified. This might be tweaked. That would be tricky. That would be challenging. And this is all happening in just a split second as your mind's going all these places. And then you say, well, what if Jesus came alongside you and said, hey, come with me?
Yeah.
That you can say yes to.
Yes.
That you can say yes to.
Yeah.
Much easier to say yes to a person and a relationship. It could be harder in some cases, actually. As I'm saying that, I'm thinking to myself, it's easier to say yes to the right relationship, but the wrong relationship can get us down dicey paths. So that's fascinating. So you'd be willing to move into, how old was Paul when he, pardon my scriptural ignorance here or historical ignorance, how old was he when he pivoted?
That's a really good question. I don't know if we know for sure.
But he was an adult. He was into his adult life.
He was classified as a rabbi, a teacher, as was Jesus. And my understanding of the ancient Near East in Israel is that you had to get past 30 years old to be classified, have that designation. And so that's part of the reason why Jesus' earthly ministry didn't start till he was 30. It's almost this rite of passage. You get a discount on your insurance when you're 25. You know, you can drive when you're 16. When you're 30, rabbi status. Okay. Yeah. And so he was referred to as a rabbi. And I'm going to guess it was shortly after that, you know, low mid-30s, where Paul had his unbelievable pivot with God.
But that almost sounds, are you offended by that, to say that all that you've built and become in your walk, that could go away? Like, that would be a tough thing for me if I'm putting myself in your shoes and knowing all the work that you've done, all the lives that you've changed, to put all of that in the rearview mirror, even if it is Jesus asking you to do those things and say, come with me.
Yeah.
We build attachments to our achievements, to our relationships, to our accomplishments. And I don't think that's necessarily easy. So becoming the best version of you versus reflecting a more accurate version of Jesus. This is a tough one, because the more successful you are in Avenue X, Y, and Z, the more other people really appreciate you in Avenue X, Y, and Z, whether it's the money you're making, the influence that you've achieved.
Yes, and I have to be honest here and share with you something from the pages of my own journal.
Yeah.
One of my biggest challenges in life is wanting to be respected, wanting to be admired. And in a lot of ways, I am trying to tithe and steal some of God's glory by doing that, bringing attention to me. Why doesn't anyone thank me? Why doesn't anyone appreciate me? Why doesn't I do things for people and they don't support our ministry? I do things for people and they don't thank me. I tell you, I wrestle with this. I asked someone to do something for me the other day, and they did it for me. This is a person that I've blessed in a lot of different ways. And they did it for me. And I'm like, that is so great. And then they sent me a bill. And I was really bitter. I tell you, and this is honest. This is my heart speaking. I was really bitter. I'm like, oh my goodness. Are you kidding me? After all I've done for you. And goodness. Oh. And I really wrestled with that. I was reminded of something I heard from a wise teacher once. The bitterness comes when we look to someone or something to do something that it wasn't designed to do. And I glanced at that definition and I'm like, you know, I can understand that in some circumstances. I don't think that's why I'm bitter here. You know what? I'm just going to pay the guy and I'm just going to get rid of the bitterness. Okay. And I paid him and the bitterness was still there. I'm like, now what do I do? And so I wrestled with that a little bit more. I said, well, maybe I need to look back at what I have been expecting him to do for me that was a need he wasn't designed to fulfill. And what I found was I was expecting him to say, you have done so much for me. Keep your money. Now, I've heard that from other people, and it is a delight to my flesh to hear. Yeah. Your money's no good here. After all you've done for me. And that really feels good. Guess what? I haven't done anything for anyone. He's the one who's done it. And I'm just piggybacking on that, wanting some of the spotlight when he is the one that deserves all that. And so if we look in our rearview mirror at the accomplishments, we'll put that in quotes, of the things that we have done, the people we've impacted, and we are somehow tithing some of that for ourselves, we're already in trouble. And it will be very difficult for us to let that go.
I think it's, as we've been talking about, you can do that mentally and say, oh no, it's all for God's glory. I need to be focused on God. I shouldn't want that. And it's easy to say that. But like you said, to release the bitterness or not even have it in the first place. Now that is a transformative experience. Imagine not having that bitterness show up in the first place at all. Now there's a foreign territory. Yeah. So how do you get there? How did Jesus, what made it so that Jesus would never experience that bitterness in the first place?
That's such a good question. I'm smiling from ear to ear because I don't know Jesus's answer, but I know my answer. Because in this whole bitterness thing, I had to learn making the Father's heart happy is the most important thing of all, period. If I bless someone, if I give someone to something, if they don't say thank you, if they don't say, oh, that was meaningful to me, if making the Father's heart happy above everything else is my goal, then I don't need a thank you. I don't need a, hey, you are so great. I don't need any of that because I've already got that from the Father. The minute I serve, the minute I give, the minute I am a conduit of his grace to someone around me, it makes his heart smile. And if that satisfies my soul, then I don't need anything else.
So the best version of you does not look to people to perform things that they're not designed to do, because you're looking towards the Father, knowing that He is the source of any and all things that you need through His Son, Jesus.
Yes.
I wouldn't be able to say that again if my That's life so depended good. On it.
Yep. You're going to have to hit replay on your podcast if you need to hear that again, because it's so good. And it's also the best way to experience peace and joy. So many people around us are like, I need peace. I would like joy. Well, guess what? Those things can't be acquired by pursuing them directly. We have to pursue the Father and connect our hearts to Him, and then it will come.
We need to constantly remind ourselves of this, though. It's not as though this is a truth that just hits and stays and never wants to migrate. That's true of a lot of the things that we talk about, though, is they're so powerful and so meaningful. And when we talk about them and experience them and really excavate these truths together, it feels so good.
Yes.
But then fast forward a month in the future and it's like, well, wait, what was that?
Yeah.
So that bitterness, you might have that steadily in your heart's focus for the next couple weeks, maybe the next couple months if you're lucky, maybe even the next couple years. But there will be a time when that slips out of your heart's memory, yeah, and you need a refresher of that. So I think so much of becoming, reflecting the more accurate Jesus is consistency.
Yeah.
Consistency, consistency, consistency.
Yes. And the beautiful thing is that that's the role of the Holy Spirit, to remind us.
Isn't that great?
Of who Jesus is. Because I can get overwhelmed by saying, I need to remember this, and I need to think about this, and I need to review this every single day, and I need to memorize this. And it's like, yes, those are wonderful things, that because I need to saturate my mind with everything that's good and noble and trustworthy and right and true. And the Holy Spirit is going to be there to say, Craig, is it possible you're bitter? No. Yes. Is it possible the solution to your bitterness is just making the Father's heart happy and not caring about anything else, any applause from anyone else? Ah, yes. And I tell you, the bitterness dripped away. Because you were talking about this time in the future. It is gone. The minute I had that conversation and did some business with God, it was gone, and I was thankful for that person, and said, okay, God, hey, if you wanted to send my money to that person to support their family, fantastic.
I'm going back to a question I had earlier on this podcast, which is integrating versus emulating. Is it the healthiest version of Craig integrating Jesus or emulating Jesus? Or is it some combination of the two?
That's a really good question. I don't know if I can answer, but I'll tell you the image I have in my mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is even reflect, I'm even toying around with maybe even reflect isn't the right thing, because reflect makes it sound like there's something outside that I am mirroring to the people around me. And Jesus is inside, and it's almost like I have a colander. You know what a colander is? Got holes,
yes,
in it.
Strainer.
Yeah, pasta, washing fruit, and whatever. It's almost like I have a colander on my heart or my soul, and there's just a little bit of Jesus coming through, just a little, maybe a lot of Craig, maybe a little bit of Jesus, and then maybe over time, maybe the holes get a little bigger and a little bit more Jesus.
Sure.
Emulating, integrating, I'm not quite sure, but if He's here and He's dwelling inside of me, then I just need to get rid of the colander. I just need to let Him live His life out through me.
Oh gosh, what is our personal colander that is getting in the way of Jesus shining through us? My gosh, we all have colanders. We all have, you know, the concrete walls, the brick walls, this, you know, we have our hearts in safes. That's a tough one, man. That's a really, really tough one. When I hear the word emulating, I hear putting on an act. When I hear integrating, I hear the relationship.
Yeah, I like that.
And I think that's a pitfall. But I also go to the catchphrase of fake it till you make it,
yes,
in some capacity.
Yes.
That could have been the title of my book of my first year going to church. Is, I don't know what I'm doing here, yes, but I'm just going to show up. Yeah. And then I'm going to let Jesus do the work.
Yeah.
So that was what my story looked like. Here's the deal. Do we even have the ability to remove the colander, or do we have to ask Jesus to remove it?
I don't know, but I love playing with the image, because another message that God's been sharing with me lately is that I need to really surrender to his love. We've talked about this. We've had over 100 podcasts now.
Astounding.
And I'm so thankful that God's been able to have us do that and be a blessing to each other and to our audience. And this theme of letting God's love in has kind of woven itself through a lot of those podcasts. And I am trying to learn what it means to surrender to his love, because it's almost like that colander doesn't let Jesus out, but it doesn't let him in either. And he can only get in through the holes. And I only let little bit of Jesus love sneak into the holes and then tinker around a little bit, and the little bit of Jesus love sneaks out some holes. And I have to get rid of the colander. And maybe that's what it means to die to ourselves, of just saying, okay, I am willing to surrender to your love. I'm willing to surrender to who you've said I am, to what you want to do with me and through me in this world.
I'm just thinking about that juxtaposition of self-improvement versus dying to yourself. Those are very different,
yeah,
fruit stands.
Yes, very different.
A more accurate reflection of Jesus. How do we die to ourselves better? And in dying to ourselves better, how do we accept love better? Is it that we don't accept love, and so those parts of us that don't accept love exceptionally well need to die? That's a different way of dying to oneself. But gosh, now we're out in the abstract and Timbuktu, man. This is tough to keep a grasp on, because it's such a big concept, but it's also so important. It's so important. It's what percentage me, what percentage Jesus? How can I have the right parts work? How can I have the relationship work to show, to make him the star and bring me along with? I don't know. I'm not arriving at a concrete conclusion here, which is, it's actually really frustrating me, but I think this is an important conversation for us to have, for other people to have out in the world, because as we step into this new year, the world feels goofy, as it has for quite some time. And there needs to be these conversations that realign us back towards Jesus. And whatever that looks like, in him tinkering with our heart, removing blockage or adding extra, you know, support, whatever that looks like, the conversation simply needs to go back to him. And if we start our conversation with Jesus, then the self-improvement conversation and I'm trying this new diet becomes less relevant. Let's just make Jesus the most important part of our year. Let's make him the central focus of our conversations. Let's make him our first thought, our best thought, and our last thought. How about that?
I will say a hearty, wonderful amen. Let's do that. And I cannot improve upon that, Alex. Once again, you do such a great job of consolidating some thoughts and heart. And so thank you. Thank you for putting a beautiful bow on this conversation. Thank you for joining our podcast. We also want to thank people at Go Ministry International for supporting our podcast. They believe in us and what we're doing, and the fact that Jesus is important. Having him be the centerpiece of our lives is the most important thing that we can not just do, but be. And we want to thank you for listening. Hope you are encouraged, and have a great day.